How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025.
Can the key to facing a turbulent world be found in the stories of Greek mythology? What can an ancient goddess of laughter teach us about healing today? This is Reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. A new art exhibition at Co-Prosperity Sphere in Bridgeport is reimagining myth, memory, and resistance through the lens of Baobo, the bawdy, irreverent figure from Greek mythology who helped break the spell of grief in the tale of Demeter and Persephone. Baobo Unearthed blends myth, history, and contemporary art to explore the power of joy as an act of defiance and collective healing. The exhibition invites viewers to imagine futures rooted in empathy. To talk about the exhibition and the mythic figure at its heart, we sat down with exhibit curator Stephanie Colunga. Stephanie began with sharing the story of Baobo.
Baobo is a minor figure in the Greek mythology that not many know about. She helped break Demeter, the goddess of harvest, from her long grief that she had when her daughter Persephone was kidnapped down into Hades.
Yeah.
And Demeter roamed the earth in despair, and everything turned into a long drought and long just no harvest, and the humans were starting to kind of, there's a famine began because of her despair, and Baobo is the one who finally broke this by basically lifting her skirt.
Hey, tell
and,
it.
And she laughed out loud and just completely broke the spell that she was under and got her and gave her the motivation to then go and get her daughter from the underworld.
And you, I mean, you said it yourself, Stephanie, that this is not many people know this story. So how did it come across your radar?
I actually realized that maybe in 2016, I came upon the main image you'd see of her, which is a little statuette of long legs, chubby legs, and a round face with like a vulva face.
Yes.
And it
was, you were like, what
really,
is that?
Like, what is this? And it was very striking. And I then started looking up more on her, but it wasn't until maybe years later that I read the book Walking with Wild Women.
Okay.
And that delved deeper into the story. And then I kind of created an art piece, a jewelry piece out of bronze as a figure. And then it just kept spiraling from there, just gathering more and more information on her.
Now, is that the piece I'm looking at here that you brought in studio? Absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you.
So this, you've made one into, and yes, there's that face that you described, Baobo. This looks like you've made a sort of a pendant with a necklace. And then, and this additional piece here?
Yes. The larger one I originally created back in 2017.
Oh, okay.
And then eventually the mold degraded, and then someone really, people kind of reaching out from like the woodwork that are like really into her.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like,
I can imagine
niche.
Wearing this and people saying, what is that? And it's sparking an interesting conversation.
Exactly what happens.
Yeah.
So I had to create a new one. I created a smaller one as a newer one because it's quite big.
Beautiful. So you were inspired then to take what you knew and what you were so fascinated by and turn it into a show.
Yes.
With Baobo as a theme.
Yes.
So what can folks expect?
What they can expect is to, I wanted to create a feeling of a museum exhibition. So when you walk in, you'll see a banner, like as if it's a museum banner. Mm-hmm. And then there are cases that are actually gifted to me from the Field Museum, like large vitrine that I got to incorporate into this.
Oh, cool.
That give effect of a museum relics that I created, actually. So I created actual replicas of pieces from this story, and they're all on display. And then from there, you wrap around to the other side of the gallery, and those are artists that I found, curated, that have been inspired by Bobo, and who already also knew about her and had already made art about her.
Interesting. So there's a whole community.
Yes, they're out there. I found them.
They're out there.
I found them.
What was the process like for you making the additional pieces? Right? Did that take long?
It did. I really kind of got into it. Like, I did a lot in the last few months, actually, because I just kept finding more I wanted to create. Mm-hmm. And I was created a lot of ceramics, which isn't my norm.
So not all jewelry pieces?
No. Oh, it's actually a lot of ceramics.
Why'd you make that decision?
Just because so many of the artifacts are like pottery that go along with the illusion mystery.
Yeah.
And I wanted to create the one piece that like exists that kind of displays the illusion mysteries. That's called the Ninian Tablet. And I did a reproduction of that, and then it kind of gave me, it turned out really, I'm really happy with how it turned out.
Yeah.
So it kind of gave me the confidence to create more replicas.
Love that. Your work, your jewelry work, you describe it as, quote, reminiscent of discovered artifacts and infused with a sense of mystery and untold stories. Tell me more about that, that desire to just teach us things that we don't know.
I think since I was a little kid, I've always kind of been really intrigued by ancient artifacts and going to museums and pondering on them and who made them and their whole like untold story. I think it's been with me for a long time. So when jewelry and metals became my main like medium and my career, it just made sense that it kind of bled into that. Like, I'm really interested in people having pieces, wearing pieces, like you said, where mm-hmm. they're like, people want to ask about,
like,
what is that?
I love your necklace. What is that?
Exactly. Exactly what I'm like going for. And then it's like, for me, I get a lot out of creating that, you know, and then like learning more and digging up more like treasures and stories mm-hmm. that I kind of want to put into the jewelry too.
Yeah. Tell me more. What do you get out of it? What does it mean to you?
It's just for me, like, creating jewelry is an art practice. Like, I do consider the jewelry I make art pieces. Mm-hmm. So it's something that I have to be, like, I like learning different techniques in metalsmithing. So that's something I'm interested in, too. Like, I learned to carve cameos in Italy. That was a big thing for me.
Oh, nice.
So for me, there's, like, many levels of interest within it.
Yeah.
You know?
And you get to put all of that on display.
Exactly.
Do you have a favorite piece in the exhibit?
Yes.
And you got to tell me. Okay, good. At least you had a yes. You know, some people say, I can't choose just one.
Well, it's different because I have one favorite that I created, but then I also have a favorite of the artists.
Okay, tell me about both. So start with yours.
The first one was, I mentioned already, the Ninian Tablet.
Okay.
You can look that up or come to the show and see it.
Yes.
And then also, the other favorite, there is the one Chicago artist that is curated in. Her name is Amanda Joy Calabrese, and she has an amazing piece that's a little bit more lewd.
Okay.
I found her. She's interested also in like the Anacerma, it's called, which is like a old ancient thing of lifting of one's skirts to kind of ward off evil, and also can be bring on fertility. Mm-hmm. And she has two amazing pieces of women that are lifting large, large, beautiful painting, vivid colors. She's an amazing artist.
You know, you talked earlier about just finding your community mm-hmm. of people who are interested in this type of Greek mythology and doing, implementing that into their art as well. everyone's from all over the world? Is that right?
It's a mix. It's a real mix. Yeah, I found it's...
So how are you, is this social media that's helping you?
Yeah, or? I kind of scoured. I scoured social media. I found one woman, Helen Welton. She's from the UK. I found her from YouTube.
Wow.
She's amazing. She makes her own YouTube channel called In the Art Room. And she made all of these beautiful 38 different Baobo figures in the 90s. She made them. She's
My goodness.
She's elder. She's older. And then I found a woman in Spain, an artist in Spain who's created work based around Baobo figurines.
I bet they were excited to hear the way that you're continuing what they've started.
It was really cool to connecting with all these artists, you know, because there's so many invisible connections. Really, it was so easy to talk to them because we're all linked together by this mythology, mm-hmm. you know, this figure.
What did you learn from them?
Oh my gosh.
Especially the woman that had been doing this since the 90s, you said?
She was so great talking to her. She's like a wealth of knowledge. She sent me some images that were originally taken for her from the Altus Museum in Berlin, which I also had went to before I'd talked with her. And they sent her like photos of the actual figurines, and she's a wealth of knowledge on all of the mysteries. She has it all in her YouTube channel, so it's pretty great.
That's awesome. So for the person who's still not convinced or doesn't quite understand, what would you say about Baobo feels still relevant to explore today?
I think what's most relevant now is like the grief aspect, the light and dark, and the levity that's needed. Like, because right now, I feel like in our current time period, right now, we're in like grief is in abundance. Mm. You know, we had 5 years of COVID.
Tell me about it. Yeah.
You know, the political climate, like, you know, the police brutality, the Black Lives Matter movement. Like, we've just been like, and now, you know, even voter suppression, then we have like the genocide that's happening and multiple, you know, Palestine, Gaza. It's just, I feel like things are heavy, you know, things are very heavy. And I think that her story is about not staying in that despair of having that like tool and having that need to break out of that to get action moving forward.
Yeah, breaking the spell of grief with laughter.
Yes,
with joy.
Yes,
is that jarring or is that healing?
It's healing. It's healing, and it's so necessary because it gives us the drive to move forward. Because right now things feel kind of pretty oppressive, you know. And we all need that.
What are you hearing from people who have stopped by already to check out the exhibition?
I've been pretty amazed since this is my first time doing any like a curation or exhibitions that I had great feedback.
Yeah.
And mostly that people saying how much they needed it, because we also I had an event for the spring equinox.
Okay.
And it was lots of laughter and like great, great vibes.
Must have been so liberating.
It did feel liberating. Yes.
Yeah. So how else can people who haven't been out to check out this work, how can they see and learn about your exhibit?
We have 12 days left.
Okay.
It will end, the closing will be on Saturday the 12th at Co-Prosperity in Bridgeport. That last day for the closing, I will show some of the videos, the artists that have videos in the exhibition. I will do a screening of them because it was quite busy for the opening and the event, so I don't think people really got to like listen, and you know, even though there was headphones, it's like to really get due attention for them.
Yeah.
So we'll have a screening of those, and I'll be there to talk with anyone who has questions.
Great.
That also people can come by today, Wednesdays 12 to 6 and Saturdays 12 to 6.
Wednesdays and Saturdays. Co-Prosperity Sphere is at 3219 South Morgan.
That's it.
All right, Stephanie Colunga is a jewelry artist and curator of the Baobo Unearthed exhibit at Co-Prosperity Sphere. Oh, say that 10 times fast. Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you
Great
so
work.
Much.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Ari Mejia. It was edited by Dan Tucker. To stay up to date on the latest, make sure to subscribe to the podcast or find us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again soon.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.